Welcome to the Teach and Coach GA podcast, where each week we will learn how Georgia's teachers are reaching and engaging their students. Welcome to episode 6 of the Teach and Coach GA podcast. Thank you all for tuning in again. I hope you're having a great week, and I hope you enjoyed last week's episode with Steve Heimler. He is an unbelievable educator, and the things he's doing on his YouTube channel are truly just amazing. So I hope if you haven't already that you'll check that out, and if you haven't listened to that episode, I hope you'll go back and check it out as Steve shares engaging ways to reach students through video, and something I think is extremely valuable to educators as we're looking at online education, right, and creating videos to reach and engage our students. So really a great listen. I hope you'll take the time to check that out. I also want to thank all of our previous guests who have joined the show. This week you're going to find is a little bit different. I don't have a guest joining me this week, so it's going to be a little bit of a Q&A with me, learn a little bit more about me, that Teach and Coach GA website I have, and sort of why this podcast exists. So, but thank you again to those folks that joined us. If you haven't checked out some of those previous episodes, they are really awesome. Going all the way back to that first recording with Joe Lemo and using improv in the classroom, and probably somebody that's going to join the show again and teach us a little more of some of those improv practices that we can use in the classroom. And I'm also really excited about a lot of our upcoming guests that I have sort of on the docket moving forward with the podcast. I'm really excited to get those recorded and edited and posted for you to check those out as well. So I want to start with my background in education. I usually ask all of our guests, you know, what's your background? How did you get into this whole deal with education? And for me, probably like many of you, I knew I wanted to go into education, but the path to sort of get there was sort of weird and sort of different. I was a former car salesman to get through college, and it was tough. And at times I didn't want to continue. And at the time, my girlfriend, now wife, was really a huge motivation for me to continue with school and get that done. I was not the best student, especially when I was selling cars and going to school at the same time. It was tough at times, to say the least. But she was a huge motivation for me to continue. And then after we were married a few years in, I had sort of really stopped doing school and was really only selling cars. And I got to a point where with her job that I was able to stop working and go back to school full time. And that's really where I excelled and did well. It's amazing when you don't have a job that you have to work on to pay the bills, how all of a sudden you can devote some more time to education. So that's how I jumped in. That's how I got started and earned my history education degree there at Kennesaw State University. And like I told the story last week of getting the phone call while I was playing Call of Duty to ask if I was still looking for a job, and I almost burst into laughter. That's how I got into to teaching at a middle school here in North Georgia called E.T. Booth Middle School, where I taught seventh grade social studies and coached basketball, the seventh and eighth grade boys basketball teams. And then got honestly a little, I don't want to say burned out, but I knew I was doing too much teaching full time, coaching full time. I mean, it's to all of our teachers that coach sports, it's a second job when that day ends to change into that coaching gear and go out and coach a team. So I looked to move into something where it would be not quite as much upfront planning and preparation, and something where I knew I could give 100% to and still give 100% to coaching. And I moved into the physical education classroom and began teaching 6th through 8th grade PE. So I've got that PE background as well. And also during that time, jumped in actually a little bit before that, got also involved with Georgia Virtual School and teaching online there as well. So that was sort of my dive into online education. And it's amazing that those connections I built really connected me and helped create the path for me to move from that middle school position to Forsyth Virtual Academy, where I was asked to go back into social studies and create high school online social studies courses for something I had never taught before or done before. And I look back and laugh at it and think, who goes from teaching PE, right? Which for most teachers, like, that's, man, teaching PE, that's the dream, right? Like going out there and playing kickball with the kids, or, you know, teaching them how to play basketball or whatever it may be, like, that, how awesome is that? To then go to being able to work in an office with just a small group of unbelievably amazing educators and learn from them, and also create courses for other teachers and students. I still pinch myself because sometimes, like, was this real? Did that really happen? To me, that was one of the most influential times as an educator for me, was working with that small group with the administrator there, Drew Hayes. I'm going to be interviewing soon for the podcast as well. We actually interviewed once already, but all of the audio got lost. So we're going to have to re-record, and looking forward to sharing that with you there as well. But that's sort of my background in education. From there, I spent 2 years at Forsyth Virtual Academy, and I still do teach there. I say part-time. I mean, I don't know if you can ever say as a teacher you're part-time, but I technically retired to stay at home with my two children and be able to be at home and help and support them as they are a year and a half and 7 months. So we've got our hands full here at the Barks house. But so was able to just now teach part-time with Forsyth Virtual Academy with the couple of the online courses that I helped develop there and build with U.S. and World History. So that also opened up some time for me, though, to do things like this podcast that I hope you're enjoying. And hopefully you're sharing with others because it's really not about me. I wanted to start this podcast because as a teacher, one of the most frustrating and rewarding things was sharing your voice or feeling like your voice was heard. There was times when I felt like, you know, I had these great ideas and nobody was listening to me, and man, it was frustrating. And then I moved into that role at Forsyth Virtual Academy. It was like, man, I have all these great ideas and everybody wants me to keep trying and keep digging into these and keep sharing. And it was so rewarding. So I wanted to provide that opportunity for teachers with this podcast for them to share their voice, to share their ideas and the amazing things that they're doing, because they are awesome. And having that extra little bit of motivation to say, hey, this is great, keep going, keep digging, is, for me at least, was inspiring and pushed me to be a better teacher. So that's a little bit of my background, a little bit of the background on this podcast, and hopefully, again, you're enjoying it. So with no guest, I'm going to do a little Q&A with some of the things that I get asked most often as an online, or I guess former online educator, current online educator, that teachers often ask me now that we're in the middle of COVID and teachers are often forced into teaching online is, you know, how do we do this? You know, do I just throw all the things I was doing in the classroom up on the platform we're using for online learning, or do I start fresh? How do I do this? And really, I have two tips that I want to share with my experience as an online educator that I think are going to help others be more successful with what they're doing. And really, you know, these tips I say for online, but really these are things that I think any teacher could use, whether you're an online teacher or you're still in the classroom teaching, or if you're doing both, things that you can do to improve that experience for students. And really that's what it's all about. I'm not talking about improving your teaching practice or, you know, I'm not going to use the words teaching pedagogy, because to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure I know what that means. So we're not going to dive into things like that. I used to joke that I didn't know what RTI stood for. Reality is I did know what it stood for. I just didn't want to discuss RTI. So we're not going to focus on things like that. We're going to talk about things like how to make this better for our kids, the students that we teach. So that to me is what we're going to look at, is how do we make this a better experience for our students? I've often said our students, whether they're in our classroom or our online classroom, are our customers. And if we run this like a business, and some of my writing I've done on my website, the teachingcoachga.com, I've often referred to it as, all right, when we close that door or we get into that online classroom, it's a small business, right? We get to run this how we want to. Nobody's really micromanaging our small business, and we get to run it how we want. So our customers, in a normal small business, we'd get feedback from them. How's this going? How can we do this better? But as teachers, I don't think we always do that. And to me, that's one of the main tips that I want to share, and something Kaylin Stevens talked about in her episode in episode 4, and that's feedback, getting feedback from your students on what you're doing as an educator. Was the project good? Did they enjoy it? Was the assignment good? Did they enjoy it? And one of those measuring sticks I know that I learned and sort of stole from Forsyth Virtual Academy is the idea of, is it fun to grade? Because if you don't enjoy grading it, the kids probably did not enjoy doing it. And that's such an awesome measuring stick, because as a teacher, it's so easy to pinpoint, right? You sit down to grade it and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to grade these. I don't want to grade these. And we've all had that experience. And that to me is a good sort of red flag in the air of, hey, we need to relook at this. We need to figure out how to do this better. So tip number one is get feedback from your students. And the first question I think people would ask to that is, well, how do I get feedback from my kids, right? If we've never done this before, if we've never asked for feedback on our teaching and that experience our students are having, is how do we do that? And to me, I did it two ways. One is I simply ask, right? I know my high achieving students in the course. I know my ones, even if they're not necessarily quote unquote high achieving, I know my ones that are participating the most. And I'm going to reach in there and get with those kids and talk to them about what their experience was like. Because those kids are going to do an assignment, whether or not it's good or bad. I want to know, though, what their real thoughts are when they did that assignment. So I simply ask. And then also, I'll ask, you know, our students that aren't, you know, diving in as much. And my question to them, though, isn't necessarily going to be so much about the assignments. It's going to be, is there something they're not enjoying in the course in general? Because learning should be fun. I know that's like, oh my gosh, what do you mean learning should be fun? No, we have to learn this. No, kids should want to learn the stuff that we're teaching. I often mention that as teachers, we got into this field in education because we love what we're doing, right? We love teaching our subject. But somewhere in all the meetings and all the RTI conferences and all the IEPs and all the stuff, that love gets a little lost sometimes. So reach back in there and find that passion that you had as a teacher. Remember that this should be fun, right? Because we love our subject. Let's convey that love for our subject to our kids. And if we're not, let's ask them what we're missing and what we can do to make it better. So I'll often ask those kids that are really struggling, hey, if you don't like what you're doing, like if you logged into this and you're like, this is the worst, or in kids' terms, and maybe it's really not kids' terms, so I'll make fun of myself. So if you look at this and you're like, this is lame, right? Tell me. You're not going to offend me as a teacher. Tell me you don't like this and this is boring to you. And I'm going to figure out a way to adjust it to something that you do enjoy and that you do want to come in and try to work on, right? So I think that's just a different perspective of realizing that this should be fun. It should be enjoyable for our kids. And if it's not, how can I make it enjoyable for my student that's struggling with the course? So that's the first step, is feedback. And you can simply ask, right? The other way is, in my online courses, I'll also use just a Google form, and I'll put that in the course, make it anonymous, and let your kids know it's anonymous. That's important, right? We don't want them to think that we're checking on them, or that they can't say what they really think. So I'm telling them it's anonymous, make it anonymous, and have students respond to questions in there about their thoughts on an assignment, their thoughts on the course in general, and also their thoughts on accessing material in that course, because that's also important, right? The user experience for the student as they're in there. That could be a whole nother podcast that we're talking about, the user experience of a course. So let's just focus on that feedback from the kids and ask them sort of their thoughts on the assignments and ideas maybe that they have for improving it, which actually makes me think of something I just recently asked my students. I was grading an assignment and I was going, in my brain, this is terrible, right? This is not very good. So I was trying to think of ideas of how I could switch it and change it. And I actually sort of opened Pandora's box to my students and was sort of pointing out to them, hey, my brain works a little crazy. And these are the thoughts I'm having about this assignment. These are the things I'm thinking I might want to change. I might want to adjust. What do y'all think? And it was so awesome to see students responding, because it was my idea morphed as kids were tossing back feedback to me. It was originally this idea of, you know, should we make this? Students are like, let's make it into a writing assignment. I told them, I said, that sounds just as boring to grade. And so it sort of morphed into this, maybe we could create game boards on this assignment. And maybe other students could come in and play the game that we create for them and in live sessions. And I was like, holy cow, this is merging into something really, really cool. Not because I really came up with it, but because I opened it up to my students to give feedback. So ask for feedback from your students, and then also create those Google Forms for students to respond and provide feedback as well. My next tip for teaching online or just teaching in general is communication with parents and guardians. And I know some teachers just put their hands in their head or just stop the podcast and are like, don't want to hear it, don't want to do it. And I completely understand, because there were years that I was great at this, and there were years that I look back and think, man, how often did my parents and guardians really ever hear from me when it wasn't just something bad? And some of them, did they ever hear from me? So I realize that as teachers, this is an area that's tough because it can be time consuming, but it's one of those things, if we invest time on the front end, we see huge benefits on the back end of one, students being more involved because the parents feel more involved, and also just if there ever is an issue that comes up, if you reach out and you've been communicating, that difficult communication is a little bit easier because they've heard some positive communication from you previously. So communication with parents is a key for me, and it started with me when I was a student teacher at Cherokee High School. I had a collaborating teacher named Jim Thompson, and he was awesome, to say the least. He also gave me a super long leash to learn and fail and get better as a teacher. And I think that's probably one of his best gifts that he had. But his other amazing gift was the ability to tell stories. I remember being told at KSU, when you first go in, you know, you want a straight face, be serious, don't laugh. You know, let these kids know you mean business. So I went in straight face, serious, don't laugh, letting these kids know I mean business as I sat there and listened to my collaborating teacher on day one introduce me. And I don't even remember the story that he told, but whatever the story was, had me in tears. I was laughing. So, I mean, tears literally running down my face because I'm laughing so hard. And I remember thinking, well, this whole don't laugh in front of the kids thing is gone out the window because I've broke down already. But Mr. Thompson was the one that instilled that idea of communication with me. He had, this is old school, but he had his roster, and he would highlight kids throughout the semester that he had sent a postcard home to. And it was a postcard of the school that he got at the school, and would write just a little positive note to the teacher, to the student, and to the parent on the back of that postcard and send it home to the kids. And the number of kids that would come in and thank him, or the emails he would get from parents about how that postcard was up on their refrigerator. And this is the first time, and this was a senior level econ course, first time that their student had ever, or that they had ever received positive communication from the school. And that struck a nerve with me. It helped me realize, man, if these kids have gone through school and they're seniors and have never heard a positive communication from their school, like, that's a problem. And this is viewed as a great school district, right? And that's not good. So it instilled the vision in me that I needed to send postcards, to write and send things home. And like I said, there was years that I was great at it, and there was years that I was not good at it. But in online education, honestly, I thought it was easier to send that positive communication home to parents, because I would put together a newsletter, and I still do put together a newsletter through SMORE, SMORE.com. Allows you to create these awesome newsletters. You can drop video and images and text and sort of arrange it and have these amazing backgrounds. It looks good. And I think that's an important part of this. It looks good. So when parents open it up, they're sort of excited to scroll through and see. And I would send home, and I'm working with 10th and 11th graders this year, and in years past, typically 10th and 11th graders when I've been doing this online. And I'll send home examples of student work, like, hey, I want to give a shout out to Little Billy, who completed this assignment and did an awesome job on it. And I had attached Little Billy's work to it, so that they got a shout out to the folks in that class. And typically would have, say, four or five students that I'm sending some positive communication home with an example of the work that they've done, and share a little bit about what's going on in the course and what's upcoming in the course and any other sort of information that parents and guardians might need. But the response that I got was so awesome. And what I loved the most was a parent telling me that they have never seen their kid's work since their kid was bringing work home in elementary school to work on. that since then, that they'd never seen their students work, and how glad and excited they were to be able to see what their kids were working on and making. So that's something I've continued to do, and something I think that is extremely important, not just to my students, but also to their parents. And that matters, right? Those parents and guardians want to be involved. The kids aren't sharing what they're doing at school, right? If you remember when you were in school and your parents would say, "Hey, what'd you do today?" "Nothing." Right? That's the answer that they're getting as well. So when you're able to share things with them, that really makes a difference. And I don't just share communication that is examples of work. I also even like to share examples or opportunities that parents may have to have a discussion with their kids. For example, we were working on some information in our course about taxes, right? And kids were sharing, honestly, not great information. Like, they really don't, even after learning it, didn't seem to really grasp the idea of taxes. So I wanted to share a little bit with the parents sort of where kids were struggling, ask the parents to have a conversation about taxes with their students. And the feedback again from parents was awesome. Like, "Oh, we'll be glad to have this conversation and help my student better understand taxes." And the same applied also as we were studying a little bit about communism and socialism and democracy in the United States, and sort of the impact it's had around the world. And I wanted parents to know, hey, we're talking about some things that politically maybe you agree with and maybe you don't, but I want to make sure that you know we're talking about this, so that whatever your family does think is the right path, whether increased socialism or maybe not going with that path and looking more at a capitalist approach, that you have the chance to sit down and talk with your student about sort of what you think and why, and sort of arm them with the opportunity to have that discussion, so they're not going in and saying, "Hey, what'd you learn today?" Instead, "Hey, I heard you were learning about capitalism and socialism. What did you think about it?" And then maybe they have a chance to open the door and have a little bit more of a conversation. And again, I think those things matter, because again, I know parents and guardians want to have that conversation with their kids. And sometimes it's tough to, when you get, "Hey, how'd things go today?" "Fine. What'd you learn?" "Nothing." So it helps arm them for that discussion a little bit better. And again, those small things like that, I mean, those communications I send out maybe take me 30 or 45 minutes to do. The shorter ones about what we're learning, that I'm asking for some help from them, maybe 10 or 15 minutes to do, but pays such huge dividends. So if I ever do need to reach out on something negative, which hopefully I don't, but if I do have to reach out, they've heard from me before. They know that I'm there to help their student and want the best for their student. So just two tips that I recommend, again, feedback and communication. And hopefully those are two things that you can go ahead and quickly apply to your online teaching or classroom right now. I went into this thinking, man, I don't have a guest to interview. Am I going to be able to make this go long enough? Is it going to be worth recording? And here we are pushing 23 minutes. I guess you give a teacher a microphone and all bets are off. Here we go. So I do want to thank y'all for listening. I hope those are two tips that you can quickly and easily apply to your teaching and find quick rewards and benefits for you and your students, right? As we continued with the Teaching Coach GA podcast, if you are interested in joining the show, and I hope that you are, I hope you've heard some things that inspire and motivate you as an educator. If there's things that you want to share that you're doing, and I know there's people listening thinking, I'd love to share, I just don't know about coming on, or if I have the technology, or what do I need to have to record? I don't have a fancy mic. Send me a message. Let's get together and see how we can make a recording happen for you in whatever best way works best for you. Because I want you to be able to share your voice and the amazing things that you're doing as an educator. You're going to find it motivates you. It'll push you to be better. So send me a message. Get on here and share what you're doing. I know that other educators want to hear it. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, I hope you'll share this with a friend and let them know, hey, teacher down the hall, I found this great podcast I'm listening to. You got to check them out. I would greatly appreciate it. And then lastly, one huge favor, if you haven't already, if you have time to go on in your favorite podcasting platform and leave just a quick review, you can click the 5 stars, that'd make my day. Or if you really want to make my day, write a short review about what you think of the podcast. I do read those and get a huge smile every time that I see people have taken the time to do that. So thank you as always for listening. Hope you have a great week. and we'll talk to you next week. Music from bensound.com and called Sunny.